216, the Link to the Past Randomizer podcast. I am your host, Fear Agent. Excellent show today. Got Shady for us on the show. Big, big fan of Shady. I tried to get him on the show a couple of seasons ago, but life just kind of got in the way and he wasn't available. So getting the chance to chat with him here was a real big win for me. Like I said, just a huge fan of him, his approach to the game, his approach to life, just everything about Shady is just a good person and someone that's in the community that I just really, really admire. So I was really glad to sit down and chat with him, and I'm very excited for you guys to hear it. So that's coming up. Last week, I didn't say there was much random news, but I did forget about the ladder. The ladder's completely changing. Dunka announced that they're going to a new model of the ladder. It'll no longer be 1v1s. It's going to group races, which I think is a really interesting model. Lots of thoughts. When the ladder was first created, one-on-one racing wasn't the same as it is in 2023, 2024. Because of the ladder, there's so much more 1v1 racing. But back before the ladder, 1v1 racing was exclusive to the main tournament in the league. And then everything else was group races. So if you wanted to get your 1v1 fix, it had to be in a tournament setting. And that's how it was when I came into the community. And that's how it stayed until the ladder was created. And I want to say it was in 2020 when the ladder launched. And that just sort of changed everything. And everything became more one-on-one focused. I think there's a big benefit from group races. And that is you get to compete and learn and compare yourselves to lots of other people. When I was first joining, it was like 60, 70, 80 people in group races. The year prior, I know they were hitting 80 to 100, 120 pretty regularly, especially for those weeklies. And so I'm really excited to see more group races come back. I think they're good for the community. I think they're good for runners. Because on the ladder, you get paired against your skill set. It kind of figures that out, and you keep racing kind of the same group of people. And yes, you can get better from that, and you will get better from that. But when you're competing against everyone, including the top runners, it gives you an opportunity to figure out how to get better. How do I compete with those people? And I think it's really good. There also isn't that same binary feeling of I either won or I either lost, because there's only one winner in a big group race, and I guess technically one loser who finishes last. But everywhere else that you finish in comparing times, like if you're the 10th place finisher, but you only finish like a minute behind first place, it feels pretty good. I just think there's a lot of benefits from group racing. And I know that Lumaga is trying to bring that back with the War for Hyrule thing that he's got going. My wonder about all of it, and there's no clear answer until it happens, and this isn't happening for a while. I think there's a couple more seasons of the ladder until it switches over to the new version. But I wonder if the community will adapt, because the people that were racing in those big group races aren't around as much anymore. You know, communities cycle through people. Just a natural course of playing a game is people get tired of it and they move on to other stuff. And Dunka comes from that old school. So I wonder if, I mean, Dunka's got to be wondering about this too. Like, there's no sure answer. Does this work for the ladder? I hope it does. I really do. I think the community overall benefits if there's more large group races. I think there's a benefit to the community. I think the community will grow stronger. I think it brings people together a little bit more because you're racing together. You know, if you have 30 or 40 people in a group race, it's not as isolated as it is one-on-one. And you're able to chat with more people and just create more friendships. And I think overall it's a positive. But again, I do wonder if that's what the community wants. And I don't know, because most of the people in the last couple of years that have joined, the last 3 or 4 years, the people that have grown up playing this game on the ladder, if they will adjust to or adapt to the big group races. We're going to go positive. We're going to think positive and say they will, and there will be a benefit for the community. But it's an interesting experiment that Dunk is doing, you know, like throwing away the success of the ladder that he's built the last 4 years and kind of rebuilding it is risky. And it, you know, that same risk that he took going into creating the ladder is there as well. So Dunk is a smart man. He knows what he's doing. I would trust his judgment on this. We'll see if it works. We'll see if the community grows stronger through it all, and we'll see if people will start racing the ladder more. Because I think people have stopped racing the ladder as much. I think the numbers are dwindling a little bit. I wonder. I'm just curious to see where it goes, and excited for what Dunk has created. So we'll see how it goes. I think that's about it. I'm trying to think about what I've been doing. Hasn't really been anything rando related, so not really much worth talking about. I haven't been playing a lot of games. You know, I finished up Baldur's Gate 3. That's completely done. There's a new patch. I think it's their last major patch. Patch number 7 is going to be coming out, I think, in a couple of months. And that's going to add a bunch of stuff for dark endings. And I think modding support is going to be officially added to BG3 too. So that's going to be cool. So I'll probably dip back in when that drops. Probably do like an evil playthrough or two so I can check out those new endings. I think that'll be neat. But for now, Baldur's Gate 3 is a little bit on the shelf just because I spent so many hours the last few months playing it. So I think that's it. That's enough. Let's get to our conversation with Shady again. And just like a fan of him in general and the way he runs the game and the way he plays. And again, the way he approaches going into races and, you know, just his style. So excited for this interview. Let's get to it. Here's Shady Force. I know how you and Dr. Marty teamed up, obviously, since you're brothers, right?
Yeah.
That makes sense that you would team up with your brother. How did Zelga get involved?
I don't know. I think what happened was I would have been in his Twitch chat a lot. Back in the early days, like not long after kind of I joined the community. We both joined the community, I think. And I just would have been hanging out and listening to him talk through the seeds, which is obviously you learn a ton from.
Right.
And I guess I just must have asked him, and obviously Marty was the obvious choice for the other teammate for us.
That makes sense. Did you start playing first or did your brother?
I started playing first, and then I got him involved, and I thought it was like a good bit later on, but looking back, it's his participation. It was probably actually just a couple of months, like half a year or something.
Yeah, that's hilarious. Yeah, well, the thing I love about the spoilers or the Eastern Skippers or whatever your guys' names are, it's just like I feel like I'm always rooting for you guys, no matter what tournament it is. I mean, everyone loves Zelga, right? Like Zelga is the most likable person in probably the entire community. But I wouldn't put you and your brother that far behind him in likability and just people you want to be around and you kind of want to root for.
Oh, I appreciate that.
There's something about you guys. You're good guys, right? Like it just feels like you always want to root for the good guys, and you kind of have this kind of almost underdog mentality because you guys are so talented and so good at the game and yet haven't been able to like put it all together yet, whether it be in like the main tournament or the league or whatever. So it always feels like, man, when can we get Zelga and Shady and Dr. Marty a championship?
Yeah, I know. Like I wouldn't consider myself a top runner, but there are definitely a couple of top runners that are also just really nice guys in the community. So it's cool that there are people like that you can root for.
Yeah.
Like Airy is the obvious other one. Like Airy's right. Such a nice dude. And but obviously he's like incredibly good at the game as well.
Right.
So it's nice that you can root for the guys that are also kind of likely to win stuff.
Sure. And yeah, Airy, when he won the SGL last year, it was a cool moment, right? We're talking about like one of those good guys. It felt like, oh man, this is his swan song because he's not playing because of, you know, for whatever reasons. And it was a cool way for him to kind of go out. But now it's on to the next good guys. And I feel like the spoilers are them. That's you guys. You guys are the next in line. We got to get you guys a championship because you guys, it's easy to root for good people. I think that's the basis of it, right? Like it's easier to root for someone that's just, I don't know, a positive impact in the community.
Yeah. The problem is I don't know whether it's going to get it harder for us to actually win something going forward rather than easier. Because even though we're getting better,
yeah,
community is getting a lot better and there's so many new people coming in. So
yeah, that's very true. So you have an accent different than mine. Where are you from?
I'm from Ireland.
Oh, okay.
But I live in the UK.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Whereas Marty, he's still back in Ireland. So, okay. So we're in different countries at the moment. So I don't see him all that often.
Are you the older or younger brother?
I'm the older. I'm the oldest of four and he's the youngest of four.
Oh, okay. So is there what's the age difference?
Two, eight years, I think.
Oh, okay. That's quite the difference.
Yeah, just a couple of years between each of the siblings. So,
Okay. Growing up, did you guys play a lot of video games together, or is that the 8-year difference a bit much?
No, we definitely played a lot of the same games. Link to the Past is an obvious one. I think, like, it's such a long time ago, I can't even remember, because, like, obviously when I was a kid, he must have been a really young kid, but I'm pretty sure I remember all four of us, like, playing video games together, Link to the Past. I have a great memory of at least some of the brothers. It may not be Marty, because maybe he was too young, but at least some of the brothers, right? We're in this tiny little room with two bunk beds and a TV and a SNES. And dad and our dad was there as well, and we would all be playing Super Mario All Stars, right? And we'd take turns, we'd try the level, and if we die, we give the controller to the next person, and so on. And I just have a great memory of my dad, like, he would always just say, "Oh, just give it here now, and I'll show you how it's done." And then he would just die in the first pit anyway, and going past to the next brother. Oh. Yeah, I'm pretty sure we all played together, a lot of the games together when we were younger.
Was the SNES your first console that you remember playing?
Yeah, that's right. I would have been old enough to be in the NES era, but, like, we just didn't have a NES, and I don't think we didn't have, like, a lot of money for luxuries. We did fine, but we didn't have a lot of money for games consoles and games and stuff. Sure. So we started with the SNES, and we had we ultimately had a lot of the classic games, like All Stars, Mario Kart, Mario World, Link to the Past, probably those four, maybe a couple of others, but that came along later. I think they were the main ones, and obviously they're going back now. They're obviously my favorites because of, you know, the whole nostalgia thing. You know?
Yeah, I think I've actually seen you do some Super Mario World speedruns too, right?
Yeah, I got started in Mario World not that long after I got started in Link to the Past Rando. Rando would have been the first speedrunny type thing I got involved in, but I think Mario World wasn't long after that.
Yeah. So what was it like growing up in Ireland when you're little? The only thing I know is, like, from movies or TV, right? Like, it is so foreign to me. Like, I can assume what it was like, but were you in a big town, small town?
We certainly went in a village. It wasn't remote, but it certainly wasn't a town either. It was, again, at the place where there's just loads of houses dotted along the roads, and every five or six are grouped together and given a place name. You know, like, there's plenty of neighbors. I guess it's more like a lot of little villages along the road and stuff. So there's plenty of people around, but it definitely wouldn't have been big city, big town. And the facilities wouldn't have been great, so we would have done a lot of outdoorsy stuff and playing around and climbing trees in the forest type stuff. We certainly, like, the nearest cinema would have been, like, miles away, so we wouldn't have had that sort of stuff, you know. So, and even today, like, if I were to go back home, running clubs and athletic clubs and stuff are the main social outlet hobbies and stuff, apart from pubs obviously, sure. Right, like, but like, you know, running like, if I wanted to do hobbies and stuff like that, it would be like running clubs and athletic clubs and things like that, like football, soccer, regular football and so on. So those would be the main outlets, but, you know, like, the world's a lot smaller than it was when I was a kid. Like, yeah, they were very far away when I was a kid, and now they're not so far away, they're just a drive.
were video games, like, your primary hobby, or were you playing football, or what were you doing?
I played tons of football at school, basically, like, every lunchtime. We would mostly the boys, I guess, but, you know, a couple of the girls, everyone would just go to the yard, play football for the small lunch, sharp lunch break, and for the big lunch break.
Yeah.
And then we'd go straight back into class then.
Yeah.
But I vaguely remember watching a ton of TV when I was a kid as well. I think that would have been the thing, like all the cartoons and all the TV shows and stuff like that. And to be honest, that's probably more of a thing that we did than video games. But I think that would have been the main thing, and just outdoorsy stuff, you know, running around playing games and stuff.
Right. I spent a ton of times in the quote-unquote woods, you know what I mean?
Like,
playing outside, doing whatever. I don't know. I don't even remember at this point.
Nah, just kid stuff, yeah.
Were the cartoons you got, like, American cartoons, or were there Irish cartoons, or?
Well, let's just say that I've played that MSU pack with all the cartoons, and probably a good two-thirds of the songs I recognize.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good one. That's funny. Okay, so you're playing this NES, you've got your brothers, you're playing outdoors and stuff. Do you guys continue on playing, like, with the Nintendo 64? Where does gaming go from there?
Yeah, we did do the Nintendo 64, and we would have had that from around the house and stuff as well. I would have played, like, I have a good few games I loved from the N64. I think GoldenEye and Perfect Dark in particular. Mm.
Those are great, like, brother games, right? Like, those are, because you can play more than one player, it feels like I get a crack down on my brother, our brothers, yeah, and friends, and destroy them, especially being the older one.
Yeah, we played tons of those, and, yeah, and Mario Kart, obviously, and stuff, yes, like that. So, yeah, yeah, no, we had good fun with those, I'm pretty sure, yeah. But after the N64, I think that must have been around the time I was, like, moving out of the house, going to university and stuff. So I never owned a GameCube. I guess just the Switch after the GameCube. Am I missing one?
The GameCube went to the Wii. Right?
The Wii, yeah. Okay. I have, like, later on, I've owned a Wii, like, secondhand.
I see.
Even my wife had a Wii, something, and we had that. And I've played some Wii games, but definitely there was, like, a generation of games there that I missed. I've played a little bit. Like, I've never played Mario Sunshine, for example.
Well, you're not missing out on anything there.
Yeah, yeah. And I've played a bit of, like, Wind Waker, but I don't know if I've ever completed it and stuff like that. So that kind of generation of games I would have completely missed.
Was there no interest in, like, a PlayStation or Xbox or even PC gaming? Or
I just was too busy with other stuff, really. Mm. Like, I was too busy with university. I was too busy with the hobbies and stuff I did there.
What kind of hobbies? What were you into?
All sorts of stuff, really. When I was at college, I did a lot of college debating. I think that took up a lot of time. I didn't join the football club at my undergrad, which I kind of regretted. When I ended up doing a master's years later, I ended up joining the football club there, and I'm still playing a bit of football now today.
Oh, cool.
A lot of my hobbies are very on-off. Like, I'll get really intense in them for a few years, and then I'll just kind of give up and do other stuff.
Sure.
But while I'm doing them, I'll put a lot of time and effort into them. Like, I would have played chess. I've definitely had spells where I put a lot of work into chess to get good and then just not played for a few years.
Sure.
I play bridge as well. I've played bridge quite competitively.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I'm probably much better at bridge than I am at anything else, really. I've just because of the amount of time I've put into it. Like, I've played for the junior national team and stuff like that. And what else? I don't know. There's always stuff going on, you know, and but it kind of chops and changes all the time. Like, I intense on them for a few years and then stop.
Yeah. And that makes sense why video games would be a priority if you're busy doing all these other, I don't want to say better, but more interesting things to you at the time, right?
Yeah. And so video games definitely took a backseat. I remember I played a bit of, like, some online game called Utopia. And it was like a text-based kind of game, a bit MMO-like, where you're kind of in guilds and stuff like that. And I don't remember much about it, but I remember wasting a lot of time with it at uni as well, playing that on the college computers. And then, like, in my final year, I'd be like, oh, I really got to stop this because I got to do some study.
Actual work. Yeah.
Got to get some actual study done. So I think I managed to drag myself off it.
That's funny.
But apart from that, probably not a whole lot, to be honest. I would have had a little laptop with me for college and probably wouldn't have been able to play many fancy games. I think I would have played a lot of Civ, maybe, and a lot of whatever the Bethesda game was, going Fallout or Oblivion or whatever. I think I would have played a lot of those single-player games and stuff rather than console games around that period. But
sure.
But not so much the console games. So
you're more drawn to the strategy stuff than you would, safe to say.
Yeah, for console games, I've played a good few of the strategy games. I don't play an awful lot of the first person shooter kind of games.
Sure.
I've played a couple, but strategy for sure. The Civ games, Stellaris, those kind of ones, you know. Mm-hmm.
The debate thing has me interested. Like, how long did you do that, and what did that entail? Was that just was that a hobby, or was that part of your education too?
No, it was just a hobby. Obviously, the university had clubs and societies, and so for the 4 years I did my undergrad, pretty much for all four of those years, I would have been in the debate society, and they would have just had formal debates. They would have had, like, regular meetings where they just debate random stuff, and it's just mucking around. And then they would have sent teams to different universities, every couple of weekends or something. There would be, like, an intervarsity event hosted by some university, and all the other universities in Ireland would send teams to there, and they would compete. And there were some Worlds events as well. I never really got into the Worlds events. I was never that good at debating, but it was kind of fun. In a way, I'm not sure I I kind of wish I had done more other stuff at uni. Like more, I wish I had played more football at uni.
I see.
Because the 4 years there not playing football kind of means that I'm just not as good then when I get back into it later on. The betting was good and I learned a lot from it. And it's obviously a good skill to have, but I don't know if I needed to spend all 4 years doing that. But you know, it was still fun, and I obviously met tons of friends through that.
I've never done like debate club or done anything with debating. How do they determine a winner? Like that's the one thing that I've never really been able to grasp.
Basically, you have a panel of judges, and the most common format would be you would have four teams. And each team would have two people on them who were on the team. So you get your first proposition and your first opposition and then your second proposition and your second opposition. Mm-hmm. And so you have your phase early in the debate where you're introducing some of the new arguments, and then you have your phase later in the debate where your people are handling the responses to things that have been said earlier on. There's more of an emphasis later in the debate.
Are you given the topic ahead of time?
Well, sometimes you're given it well ahead of time, but other events, like these inter-varsity events, we're given the topic 15 minutes beforehand.
Oh, wow.
So then we got to sit down and quickly scribble notes with our teammate and figure out the gist of what we want to say.
Are you given the position that you're going to debate? Like,
Okay. Yeah. So you're allocated a position in the debate and you're given the topic in 15 minutes to prepare. And then you go and everyone does the debate and there's a prescribed order for who speaks first. You can decide within your team, but there's a prescribed order amongst the teams. And you just do your debates. You've got a time limit and there's judges sitting in the room judging who does the best job. They probably have some sort of scoring system and some kind of criteria for deciding who does it. Like I did a little bit of judging when our university hosted the debates. I would have done a bit of judging as well, but I was never particularly good at figuring out who was the best debater. It wasn't really my strong point. I was a bit better at the debating, but still not that great. You know, I just did it for fun. I did it for the trips to other unis for the weekend and stuff.
That's cool. Did you do pretty well though? Like, do you feel like you're a pretty good debater?
Nah, I don't think so. Mm. I think I'm pretty mediocre. I feel like I'm pretty good at bridge and I'm pretty good at chess and I think I'm pretty good at rando. But debating, pretty rubbish. I don't think I'm very. That's one of the things I'm not that great at. I'm probably below average at that one.
What about football? Are you good at football?
I don't. It kind of depends because when I was at secondary school, just before university, obviously I would play it every day, and I think I would have been pretty decent. Mm-hmm. And then I did my undergrad 4 years, not a drop of football, and it just drops off so much. Yeah. And then I get back into it later on, like years later, but I'm obviously just kind of, I'm just not as good as if I had just kept on playing. And my peers would have kept on playing like for their whole life. People play football their whole lives. They just never give up. They slow down a bit, but they'll play every week. Mm-hmm. And then I'm just like, just not that great. And compared to them, and there's a bit of a drop off. Like I played for a team after my master's, and they were in tier 13 of the English football pyramid, right? Which is obviously like a high number, right? But it's obviously like, it's also a very competitive league.
Sure.
And I was easily the worst player in that team. But obviously it was still a good standard, but I'm easily the worst player in the team, if not the league, right? But then like whenever I play football with people at work, like I'm pretty much the best player, you know?
Right.
If I play with a work 5-a-side, a work 7-a-side, I'm easily the best player. So it just kind of depends.
Sure. Yeah. No, that makes sense. I mean, there's definitely levels to any sort of competition, right? Like you get to the real Premier League, specifically the Premier League, but also, you know, just using the word as an example, but, and then you have so many different levels and it's like, it's tough, but I find soccer or football fascinating because of how big it is everywhere else than where I'm at, right? Like, American football is huge here and it's growing in popularity over in Europe a little bit as the games have been coming over there more and more. But soccer football is just so big and, you know, you grow up and everyone plays it. And in the States, it's just so different.
I would have thought Major League Soccer is definitely on the up over there, though.
It's definitely on the up, but it doesn't compare to American football over here or basketball. or baseball
or hockey. Yeah, or I know. Hockey. I know the big four, yeah. But I would have thought yeah. I would have thought of like slotting it at number five for sure. Which I think is so. Respectable and like
I think so. But after five, then where do you go? Like, what else is there? You know what I mean? Like, so it is like the bottom of. It's definitely growing. Like the popularity of soccer and football is definitely growing over here. But it's just it's hard to compete with American football with how big it is and basketball. But I don't know. I don't even know where I was going with that. But I just find it. I'm fascinated by it in other countries where you grow up with it and it's just the primary. Because I think it's an excellent sport, and I think the accessibility is what makes it excellent, right? Like anyone can play it. All you need is a ball and some goals, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Well, it's interesting you say that. Like in UK, it's obviously like the top sport. Although mm-hmm. there's quite a few other big sports that are quite popular. It's comfortably the top one. But in Ireland, I would say it's definitely number two. Oh. Because Gaelic football in Ireland is probably the main sport, which I never really got into for reasons that I can't really describe. There's plenty of Gaelic football around in my local area, but I always just ended up going for association football for soccer. So
I'm not familiar
Gaelic
with it.
Football Gaelic football is number one in Ireland, I would say.
Oh, okay.
Loads of people play Gaelic football. I have plenty of cousins and stuff, and people on the local area that really got into it. There's a local GAA club. They do really well in a lot of the inter-county matches and stuff like that. So we would have cheered them on when we were younger. But not a sport I ever really got into. Like even here in London, there's a Gaelic football club that I could get into. But it's just, I would be starting from scratch kind of.
What's the difference? Is it, because I'm looking at a picture, it kind of looks a little bit like a cross between soccer and rugby maybe?
Yeah, you could say that. There's 15 people instead of 11. Okay. And obviously you get the ball in hand, but there's limitations on carrying the ball. You don't carry it like rugby. You have to solo it, so like you have to bounce and kick alternate, and you can't just throw it to people. You have to do the hand pass or the kick pass. But you can move forward, unlike in rugby. It's not like carry forward and throw backwards in rugby. You can kick the ball forward. It's to be honest, it's a very interesting high intensity game, and it's a lot of fun to watch as a spectator sport. That and hurley, which is another big Irish sport, and they would have been on. They probably wouldn't see too much of it over in the US, but in the UK, even sometimes on the Sky Sports, they show some of these Irish sports, and they're quite good spectator sports as well. Arguably, sure. Even better than soccer.
It's a little bit more physical, right? Like you're actually running into people a little bit more, hitting people.
A fair bit more physical, yeah. The tackles are a lot more is allowed in the tackles, Yeah, they have to be made of tough stuff, I think, to do it. You'll get plenty of bumps and bruises and kicks.
Right. And they're not wearing helmets. They're not wearing pads. It looks pretty intense.
No, and hurley they would, because of the little ball, they call it the slitter. Like, that's quite a dangerous object and it goes very fast. So they kind of need to there. But and then Gaelic football, nah. It's not the worst. Like, it's probably not as dangerous as rugby in terms of how many injuries the average person gets, but it's definitely physical and not too much padding. But like, it's not like American football either, where like you go in for the hit and you kind of knock them down as hard as you can, basically. But you're all padded out, so it's okay. Just don't be anything. Don't do anything stupid. And don't go for the head, or don't grab their face mask and stuff like.
No, yeah, I'm watching like a best of right now, and it does look intense. It looks pretty fun. It's something I've never heard of.
Yeah, so like Aussie rule, like Australia have Aussie rules, which is a similar sport. It's a bit different, but it's close enough that they do like a compromised test series between them, like a compromised rules between Ireland and Australia. And it's like very entertaining because it's so physical and brutal, and they're always getting into fights and stuff. It's just it's so much fun. Like, it's really good. It's great to watch.
Do you guys have hockey over there?
Well, okay. Are you talking field hockey or ice hockey?
Ice hockey. You probably have field hockey, right?
I don't know. There are a couple of ice hockey teams over. I'll say over in London, there's one or two ice hockey teams around. It's certainly not that popular a sport for sure. And I don't even know if it's a thing in Ireland at all. It's in mainland Europe, it's more of a thing. There's certainly plenty of good ice hockey teams in mainland Europe, but I don't know about the UK and Ireland.
Sure. So in between all the stuff that you're doing, how do you get back into video games?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, I probably just always had a laptop and just played my strategy games and stuff. And when, like, I've definitely played the Wii, and I've played almost nothing of the Wii U, but when the Switch came out, like, well, although that's relatively recent, I guess, but when the Switch came out, like, I definitely got hold of one of those and been playing lots of games with my wife and stuff, so.
It's recent, but it's been 7 years, I want to say, since it came out, which is pretty crazy.
Yeah, now I'm working out, is that before, during, or after when I started Rando? Because that's a long time.
Right, like, it came out, I want to say it was 2017 when the Switch came out, so it's pretty nuts. Did you do any sort of speedrunning or have interest in speedrunning at all prior to Rando or Super Mario World?
No, I had no idea Rando was a thing. Speedrunning was a thing. And I have no idea how I came across it, but I can only imagine it's like being on YouTube and like a video would have popped up, maybe even a GDQ. It wouldn't have been Rando because Rando and GDQ would have been after I joined the community. Mm-hmm. But something would have popped up and I probably must have followed the rabbit hole of watching videos. And I ended up discovering Rando. And it would have been videos on YouTube of the 2017 fall tourney. And okay. I think I just would have binge watched every single race that I could find. I think that's what I did.
Yeah. What was it about Rando that kind of hooked you in, that made you?
No idea. Yeah, I had no idea, dude. I just liked watching the races or something. And it was obviously it's a game I was familiar with. Right. I would say I'm not as familiar with like the past as maybe with a couple of the other games, actually. But I was still familiar with it, but obviously the items and all that were in different places. So it was quite interesting, but I just quite liked watching the tourneys and races and stuff. It was just very interesting with all the commentators. So it's quite cool. I just really enjoyed it. But like, it was a lot more, like, I'm a bit more grizzled at the moment, like with commentary of races and stuff. It's a bit mm-hmm. more mixed. But back then it was I was all fresh and new, and I just loved everything, and I just watched every single race, and it was in everyone I could get hold of.
Which Zelda would you think you'd be more familiar with than Link to the Past?
No, Link to the Past or Ocarina of Time are the two I'd be most familiar with. But it's more other games. Super Mario World I'd be more familiar with, and maybe probably All-Stars I'd be more familiar with as well.
Did you like playing Lost Levels as a kid? Because that game was impossible and still is. It's better on All-Stars because you can continue. I think in the original one, if you game over, you have to start from the beginning. Or maybe you can continue, but you have to use like left and start or something like that.
Yeah, so I've never played the original NES version, if that's what you're talking about. I think they only have 3 lives as well in the NES version.
Yeah, it was the NES version is tough.
Yeah.
It's unforgiving, I feel like I should say. Whereas the All-Stars one is a little bit more forgiving. It's still really tough.
But the thing about Lost Levels is you just get your 99 lives in the first level and then you carry on from there. So like what are you worried about? Like running out of lives, you get down. 99 is enough.
Well, I'm still losing all those 99 lives, man. I'm that bad. I was still getting game over at 99 lives. So, okay, so you watch speed gaming on YouTube. At what point then do you say, let me give this a shot?
So, yeah, it was still towards the end of 2017, probably November, December. And I just started joining some of the big races and stuff that was going on. And I've been looking back on SRL at some of my times and and some nice positive comments about like how happy I was that I was joining them. And like, even though I was like 2 hours, 40 minutes, third last, you know, it's like, oh, this is cool. You know, I enjoyed this, you know, interesting seat and all that. And so I would have played a lot of those races, and then I would have joined the Key Sanity tournament that was in spring of 2018 before the main tourney happened. I would have joined the Key Sanity tournament.
Did you find it difficult to just start racing, or did you practice online or offline by yourself, or how did that go?
I don't know. I think I would have done a couple of seeds offline and then just hopped into racing and not really cared if I was like getting trounced. But at a certain point, I remember starting Rando being very hard because of so easy to Rando itself as a game.
Oh, I see.
To complete the seed.
Okay.
Which surprises me because of how many new people come into the community and like they get good really fast, right? But I remember it being hard.
But back then, there wasn't as many resources, I feel like. There was, I remember GamerCal's videos were a big learning tool for me, but there wasn't a ton of resources, you know, especially like things like with the GOMO tournament and, you know, just videos and discussions. And there's just so many more tools now to help people get good faster. I feel like there was people that were willing to help, but it wasn't the same in 2017 or 2018.
Yeah, I feel like all my learning was just from binge watching all the races and stuff, which obviously helped. And then it took a few seeds maybe before I could reliably finish without like skipping an item somewhere and getting lost.
Yeah.
But I think I just dived into SRL races at some point and I just did loads of them.
Speaking of the difficulty of IRC, did you find joining races difficult? Because now we have race time and you just, you know, log into the website and go. But for me, it took me forever to get IRC set up. Maybe that was just because I wasn't familiar with using IRC chats and stuff back then. But it felt like getting into racing was definitely a hurdle for some people. Did you have that?
I don't think I had the huge trouble. I basically followed the instructions and there was a knack to certain things, but I kind of managed to figure it out. Not that I'm an expert in IRC either. I certainly haven't, but I don't think it was a huge obstacle. But like, I could be this could be selective memory as well. You know, I might have blocked that part out.
It is a long time ago for sure.
I was very happy when we switched off SRL. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. So how did that Key Sanity tournament go?
Yeah, it went pretty well. Like I went 4-1, and obviously I got into the big massive.
Wow.
33 person playoff, like for one spot to get into the brackets.
Is that really what happened? There was a 33 person race for one spot?
I think it was something like that. Unless my memory's playing up with me, it was like 30 something people, big race to decide one spot to get into the top eight or top 16 or whatever. And Zelga was the guy who won. Because he fake powdered.
Oh, wow. That's
crazy. I'm pretty sure that's the one, right? And that was a lot of fun. And from that moment on, like I'm thinking like you should always have play-in races. You should never do the Sonnenberg SB tie-break nonsense. You shouldn't do that for Swiss. Just have a big tie-break race. It was so much fun, you know? And the fact that only one person gets in, there's no pressure either. It's like, well, whatever, you know? You're not expected to get in. Just have fun.
that is nuts. That sounds bananas.
And obviously everyone liked Zelga, like so like everyone was happy for him. Everyone was like, oh yeah, it's good that Zelga, then we can all root for Zelga in the next stage.
So this is early 2018, right?
Yeah.
You found like you're playing just for a couple of months and you finished 4-1 in the tournament. That's huge, man. I feel like the amount of skill it takes to get good that quickly is pretty high. Were you playing a lot?
Yeah, I just played a lot. That's it. I just binge watched races. I watched everything that was going on. I consumed all the media I could, all the guides. I wouldn't have been that long after I would have started doing NMG runs to try and get better. And I don't think I was hugely surprised to get 4-1. Not that I would have been surprised if I go 1-4 either, because you know Rando was Rando. But I feel like I was okay. I was a decent player, but I was a long way off one of the top players back then for sure. Even that early in my career, I feel like I was decent, but a long way off the top. Whereas now today, I feel like I'm decent, but I'm a long way off the top. So like nothing has changed in 7 years.
I mean, that's just how we perceive ourselves, right? I would definitely put you in the top tier. So you're playing a lot, and I feel like this is something that I've just learned from talking to you now is when you get into something, you really get into something, right? Like, is that what it was with Rando too? Is like, I'm really enjoying this, so I'm going to pour my time and effort into it?
Yeah, pretty much. Like, I'm a fairly competitive guy, but I just like... If you're gonna have a hobby or some sort, like put the work in and try and get good at it. Like it doesn't need to last forever. But like that was my main thing doing Rando. Once I started doing Rando, I did a lot of Rando, and that was my main outlet. That was my main hobby, and there probably wasn't too much else going on hobby wise. Probably a couple of other things, but like so I put a lot of effort in, and I just try to get good. And yeah, it's pretty much the same as all the other stuff that I've done. It has lasted quite a long time though, to be honest, because I'm still doing Rando 7 years later, which is on the long end.
Yeah, for sure. And you're still really good. So as far as community goes, did you feel like a part of any of the communities? Did you feel like you were making friends early on, or was it pretty solo and that's why you brought your brother in?
Well, I feel like it was fairly solo, but that's not necessarily why I brought him in either. I feel like the Randall community as a whole has always been quite good and quite strong and quite mm-hmm. welcoming. And there's always been a lot of good people, and it hasn't really felt too fragmented. I know there's always sub-communities and stuff, and I don't think I really got too involved in any of the sub-communities. Mm. In fact, even today, I'm not sure I get too involved in any of the sub-communities. But I feel like the overall Rando community is quite strong, and it was then, and I feel like it is now still. Mm-hmm. So it's okay if you're kind of just going solo and joining these events and stuff. Like, you still make friends and stuff. I still have tons of friends, but without necessarily being too involved in any of the sub-communities, if that makes sense.
Sure, yeah, that makes sense. How long were you playing until you shared the info about Rando with your brother?
I can't remember, but I think it was like not as long as I think it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. It might have been like a couple of months later or 6 months or something like that.
Okay.
At some point, I would have when I started playing Rando, it would have been over Christmas, and obviously we would have both been home for Christmas. Mm-hmm. And I probably would have told him about that, and maybe he would have watched some of the races. But like then later on, when I go home for like Easter or whatever, or maybe the following Christmas, I can't remember. But like we would have sat down in the same room, and I would have been on my SNES or something, I guess, and he would have been on his laptop, mm-hmm. and we would have just done a race together in the same room. And it wasn't long before he started beating me, and then I was like, oh God, not this again.
What
did I do?
What about your other brothers? No interest in Rando or gaming?
Not so much. One of them is definitely interested in terms of, like, he would have watched some of my early races, and I think he would have done a Rando seed or two, mm-hmm. but I don't think so much interest in getting into Rando itself.
Sure. So, you guys were a part of the league from season two, so almost the beginning. Was there talk about your team joining season one? You remember?
I'm not sure I remember for sure. I definitely remember watching season one and thinking, this is really cool and chill, and I kind of wish I was in it. Mm. But I don't know if I was aware. I feel like I would have known about the signups for season one, but not really been too bothered. And then only when I saw season one, then I was like, oh, kind of, this is cool. You know, I want to join. Mm-hmm. I think it's probably something along those lines, but like, this is very vague memory. Like,
sure. It's a blur to me too, man. It's like all of the seasons kind of blur together.
Yeah.
For me. So, you know, we talked a little bit about how you and Dr. Marty and Zelga joined up, and created the team, and they've been a team since season two. Was Zelga one of those people in the community that you felt like you were pretty friendly with?
Yeah, I just would have hung out with his chat a lot. I think mm-hmm. he would have been one of the main people I watch whenever he's online. I would have just hopped in and watched and stuff, and would have chatted with him a bit. I guess I honestly can't remember back then. But sure. He was very well liked. One thing I remember about him is that I would have been binge watching all these races back then, mm-hmm. all the SG races. And I kind of remember he would always be in these SG races as well, watching. And I felt like, and always had nice things to say about the racers and about everyone. Like, he was just, and I just feel like he was such a positive influence in the community. You know, so I just thought he was a cool dude, you know, so sure. It was like, it's just natural to kind of gravitate towards him and other people like him as well. There's other definitely people I thought were positive influences as well. But
sure. No, Zelga is a huge one for sure. So I don't think there's been a team that's been together as long as your guys's for this consistent of a time. Tell me about your experiences with like the league. Like you've been there since season two. You guys have been competitive in every season. I think, let's see, season two, you made the playoffs. Season three, you missed the playoffs. But then season four, you go 12-2, 9-5, and then 9-5 again. Again, always super competitive. I don't know. Tell me about your experience in playing in the league and playing with the team for this long.
Yeah. Funny thing, right, is like quite a few of the seasons were like, oh, we're a bit burned out. I'm not really sure. Mm-hmm. I'm not really sure we want to do league again. What do you think, Selga? And Selga's like, oh, I'm not really sure we want to do league. Well, I guess we'll see what Marty says. We'll message Marty. Marty said, yeah, I'm up for league. And I'm like, okay, fine, let's do it. And I feel like that's happened several years in a row, but I don't think we ever regret joining, but we definitely feel the burnout of it every time. And we're like, oh, do we really want to join again? Oh, it's so much high pressure and all that. In terms of how we've done, I feel like it's been quite mixed, but you mentioned, I think in season three, I have the league thing up here. If I remember correctly, that's the one where it was a crazy sequence of results that had to happen for us to not get through. And also we were in some crazy division with all these teams. That was a really good league season.
Yeah, that was the first year of the Invitational. Season two, it was just the big mess where everyone, we had 64 just teams join. And then we had the Invitational. And that first season of Invitational, everybody wanted to be a part of the Invitational, right? So you had all of the biggest and best runners playing. So it was hyper competitive, but in a really fun, good way. And yeah, you guys, I think, were in one of those divisions that were just, it was tough.
Yeah. We were in a great position. And basically, we needed to win three of the last four and we're all basically guaranteed unless some crazy result happens, right? But we did win three of the last four, and we lost out because of a draw that happened in one of the other races or something, ridiculous like that.
Yeah, that's right. The last location years or something? I can't remember.
Last location years, and I like big boots.
Mm.
That was GGW Zero Rush Relkin.
Yeah, yeah.
Some serious firepower in these teams.
Right. It was all long before a lot of these names were actually really big names too. GGW was new and Relkin was pretty new. And yeah, I'm looking at that season, the last location years, 10-3-1. I like big boots, 9-4-1. And you guys missed out with the 9-5. It's just super competitive. But it felt like it was really fun, right? In those seasons.
I really enjoyed that one, despite missing out, I really enjoyed that. And to be honest, I think in the past, not so much recently, but in the past, I've always felt that the preseason is the real heart of the league and with all the cool modes and stuff. And then the postseason had just been a bit of a slog, although it's changed a little bit now that the postseason has a lot of co-op, which makes it a lot more fun. And now the postseason is actually really cool as well because of the co-op races that are part of it.
So. Season two, you guys named yourselves the Spoilers. Was Spoil Log part of season two? I can't remember.
Sure it was. We couldn't be the Spoilers if it wasn't, really.
Yeah, yeah. So what was it? Did you guys just love that mode? Was that kind of where it came from? Or
yeah, well, particularly me and Zelga. Marty doesn't mind the mode, but it's definitely not his. It's not his favorite, I would say.
Sure.
But me and Zelga were big fans of Spoiler Log. We've done all the Spoiler Log races at that time.
I think Spoiler Log in general was being ran quite a bit back then on its own.
Yeah, not even Pilot Spoiler, right. But just a solo spoiler. Yeah, so I think that would have been a thing. And me and Zelga really liked the mode, and it just seemed like a team there. And it's worked fairly well for the team. Also, it kind of doubles up as we're spoiling other people's results or whatever.
Sure.
Or we've got a spoiler on our race car. It just has a couple of double meanings and stuff. Yeah, it's really what you're going for.
It's great. No, I love it. Season five was the one year where you skipped or you changed the name to the Eastern Skippers because of no spoiler in that season.
Yeah, we had to. That's definitely a protest vote there.
For sure. Eastern Skippers comes from Cross Keys, right?
Yeah, where you find Eastern and you don't want to go in because it's just a rubbish dungeon to traverse when you don't have the bow and the big key.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. But you've enjoyed, despite, the hesitations of joining certain seasons, I don't think it's necessary to speak volumes on the league, but in just rando in general, right? There's a million tournaments going on between seasons four and six where it's main tournament, cross keys, league, Kaz boots, every other 80. It was just, it feels like that at the time there was constant tournaments going on. So it feels like something's got to give, right?
Yeah, but to be honest, I think it's great that there's so many tournaments going on. I know a lot of people disagree and people People just say, oh, there's too many tournaments. We need to, it's getting oversaturated. I don't think it's a problem. I think it's great that there's just so many options and you can do as much or as little as you want. And also right. when you bomb out of one tourney, there's another one around the corner so you can take your mind off it.
Right.
Not get as mad, you know?
You know, what's funny is that there's not a lot of tournaments going on right now. Like, your league is not going on. Main tournament's not going on for a while. There's no cross keys. I think the only tournament that I can think of is the co-op tournament going on.
Well, we can have a little look at this lovely server, the Scottish Braves Restream server, and we can have a look at what tourneys are listed here. Yeah, there's not a whole lot. So the co-op tourney, NMG League is going on.
Right, but that's NMG. That's its own separate thing.
Yeah, but I'll count it because I like sure. NMG.
There's definitely crossover, but it's not a rando tournament, right?
It looks like there's a Doors League going on as well.
And, oh, okay.
And is there a Mentor and a Multi-World? The Dutch tourney, the German tourney, like this. And there's so many races as well. Like this.
I feel like the Germans are constantly having tournaments. Though those are like specific to that area, though, so it feels a little bit different, even though it's a huge portion of the community.
Yeah, and I have noticed that they're often good at experimenting with new modes and stuff.
Yeah.
Whereas the main tourney has to be a bit more conservative, but the German tourney is like, oh, let's try this new thing, you know. And I really respect that. I quite like that they do that.
Sure. Yeah. I think my stance on more tournaments has changed over the years. I felt like at first it was kind of it was like people had FOMO, and maybe this is not up to the tournament organizers, but it felt like everyone was joining everything because they didn't want to miss out, but everyone was then burning themselves out, you know? And I guess it's not really the tournament organizer's problem, but from a general community aspect, I felt like it wasn't as good for the community. I think I've changed on that, though. I feel like people have begun to realize, like, join the tournaments you want to join as opposed to having to join all of them.
Yeah, when there's only like two or three tourneys a year, you join all of them.
Yes.
But when there's just slightly too many tourneys to join, that's when the FOMO hits in. But then when there's like tons of tourneys, you just can't do them all. So then it's back to like, it's okay again.
Yeah. So it's a weird balance between it all. Have you been involved? Were you part of the council? Did you get involved in sort of any sort of administration or leadership, anything in the community?
No, I stay away from all that stuff. I'm too lazy. It's not that I'm too lazy.
You're smart. I think it's probably smart to stay away from that stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not sure I would have the patience to be as measured and patient as some of the guys who do it. Like, I respect a lot what they do, the old council and the current TARC. And I feel like I would have a bit of a, I don't know, they're just, whenever stuff comes up, they're just quite patient at dealing with people, and I would just feel like I would just like be like, oh, you're a knob, your opinions are idiotic, you know. But also another aspect is that I don't know if I just it's a commitment, right? And once you commit, you should like stick through and do your best and put a lot of effort in. Mm-hmm. And I'm always worried that like I might just get a bit burned out, and if I want to take a step back, then I want to be able to take a step back, you know. And if I'm involved in the council or whatever, then I feel like I'm committed at least for the term. So couldn't just like be like, oh, it's a bit busy at the moment, I'm just gonna bugger off, you know. I can't really do that,
right?
So part of it is like just not wanting to get to commit too much, to overcommit to stuff.
You're smart. I think it's smart. It's a very smart, healthy way to approach it. Also, so you don't get burnt out, right? Like, I feel like, especially when someone like you who is committed to what they do, like, you have integrity and you're like, you want to be your best, you know, you don't put yourself in situations that are going to, you know, you're set up to fail eventually, right?
Yeah, it's a bit of a thankless job sometimes as well. Like, it's just like getting into politics and stuff. Like, people are always going to hate your local politician. Like, it doesn't matter.
Yep.
Who they are, how hard they work, you know, they're just going to be like, oh, why did you do this? Or why can't it go this way and stuff?
Right, right.
And it's not quite the same, right? Because I think most people respect the work that the admins and stuff do, but there's always going to be some moaning, right? And some of it's even coming from me, okay? Like, I mean, I do plenty of moaning myself.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, oh, I shouldn't really be moaning because they're doing the work and I'm doing nothing.
So you started running NMG pretty early on to help you get better at rando, but I think you started to enjoy NMG, right?
Yeah, exactly. It was originally just to improve my rando execution, but then I started appreciating more and more as its own thing. And I can't remember if that was before or after getting involved in Super Mario World, but I've done obviously speedruns and tournaments in Link to the Past Vanilla and also in Super Mario World. And the speedrun races themselves are their own thing, which are in a way quite different from rando and also quite enjoyable. They have something going for them that's different from rando that you don't get from rando, which I really like.
Yeah, I really enjoy watching the NMG League over on Zelda speedruns when they're going on. I don't know exactly what it is, because I guess it's just you're watching execution, right? Like, which is different than rando. You have the execution, definitely. You know, you watch really good runners. But it's different. You're more focused on items and routing, and I don't know.
You feel more in control of what happens in a speedrun. Obviously, if we ignore the blue balls aspect for a second, right?
But sure.
Like, it's like almost always the person who plays better in a NMG speedrun, in a Super Mario World speedrun, the person who plays better will win.
Right.
And that's partly why I like Spoilerlog so much, because the person who plays better will win the race.
Mm-hmm.
And that's in a way it's liberating, because you're not at the mercy of huge luck aspect swings, but it's also a bit more, it's a lot of pressure as well, because anytime you make a mistake and you lose a few seconds, like in rando, it doesn't matter. Like, it can feel like it doesn't matter, but in an NMG run, it's huge. Like, imagine if you go into like Eastern Big Key Skip and you mess it up and have to kill a few enemies and stuff. And rando is like, oh, oops, I'm an idiot, right? And in NMG, I mean, that could be a run over. Like, you've worked really, really hard in the first split to save those 3 seconds so you get a 52 instead of a 55, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you throw away 15 seconds in Eastern. And it's like, well, all my hard work is done. The light world is dead. I can't gold Eastern anymore. It's like, it's disastrous. It feels really bad. And that's what makes it important to get better, I think, at rando, is doing some of that stuff and appreciating how bad these 3 second time losses are. But also it's a lot of pressure. It's a different type of pressure. And you can get burned out of that type of pressure just as easily as you can get burned out of rando playing well and losing anyway. You know, they're very different things, and you can get burned out of them. And I think a balance between the two of them is quite good. It's good to, like, when one of them annoys you, you just move to the other, which is, you know, the opposite in a way.
Mm-hmm. What interested you in moving over to Super Mario World speedruns?
It was just a natural choice. Loved Super Mario World when I was growing up. Played a ton of it, like beat all the levels and stuff, played loads. And there would have been a tourney would have come up, and I would have been like, oh, I want to join that. Like an 11 exit tourney. I must have been at the 11 exit, which is a nice short mode. Mm-hmm. So I would have just like sat down and learned the run for that and joined that tourney. I've always been a big fan of just joining the tourneys and using that as the motivation to learn as part of the structure of the tourney that's going on. So yeah, there would have been an 11 exit tourney. I would have joined it. And that was cool. And then I was like, okay, well, let's try some of these other Super Mario World modes, most of which are better than 11 exit, but
really?
They're obviously more work, but it's a great stepping stone, you know? So
what other modes are there? I've seen the 11 run.
Yeah.
The 11 exit run, which is really interesting, but What else do you run in?
Okay, so Super Mario World has a lot of modes, like a lot. It's totally different than Link to the Past in the sense that Link to the Past has NMG, which is the main mode that everyone runs. And then there's a few other little interesting ones, you know. There's a few meme modes, but there's like low percent. There's like all dungeons where you can use some major glitches, but not loads. There's like Hondo, obviously, where you get all the items and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But NMG is the main one, right? So how good you are at Link to the Past is measured by your NMG time primarily.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be the main mode for most tourneys. Super Mario World is totally different because there's like a million different modes and they all exist with or without cape. So the person who's good at 11 exit is not at all the person who's good at 96 exit, which would be like all of the exits. And the person who's good at the cape categories isn't necessarily the person who's good at the no cape categories, because it's basically a whole different game.
Yeah.
So there's just so much going on. My favorite category at the moment, well, I say at the moment, I haven't played Mario World in a few years now. My favorite category is all castles, no cape.
Okay.
I've always liked the all castles category is a good middle length one. Mm-hmm. Quite tricky, but like a good medium length one. And then the no cape, I just find it's better. It's hard, but it's better because you're not flying over stuff. There's less filler and there's more action.
Is the 11 exit one pretty short? And are you taking advantage of the cape a lot in that one?
Yeah, for sure. 11 exit, you go straight to
the stars, right?
You do the 11 exit through Star World, Codizer. Yeah. Short. Yeah, a good time would be sub 11 minutes. Mm. Very, very manageable, very good as an entry level category. But there is an 11 exit no cape category as well, which I think is very interesting. And then you can't fly over some of these levels and it's more of a technical challenge, but it's still kind of short.
Sure.
It's still just over 11 minutes for that one.
That is intriguing because of the length. I feel like one of the things that prevented me from playing something like, this is not a speedrun, but like SMZ3 is it takes so long. And I'm like, I don't want to spend 3.5 hours, you know, trying to complete a SMZ3 run. And when you say 11 minutes, it's like, or obviously it wouldn't take me 11 minutes the first time I tried it, but it's definitely more appealing for sure.
Yeah.
And Super Mario World is just a good game in general, right?
It's mechanics wise, it's a fun game to play. It's arguably the most fun Mario game to control Mario in, I think. I think like physics wise, I think it's the best. Level design wise, I would say Mario Brothers 3 is better.
I agree with that. Yep.
But physics wise, Mario World is the best. So when you're doing the speedrun, it's obviously all physics and stuff, right? And it's like, it's the control of Mario. And it just feels really good to play Mario in that game. So that's probably why it's so good.
Have you gotten into any Kaizo stuff?
A little bit, but compared to how I am at speedrunning, I'm a rubbish Kaizo player. I've tried doing these like Grand Prix World games, obviously, the bars released, right. But they're just so bloody hard.
They are. I tried Grand Prix World 3 and couldn't make it past the first level.
Yeah.
It just takes so much practice. The closest I got was like hard levels in Super Mario Maker, but it's Super Mario World controls different and better than it does in Super Mario Maker.
Yeah.
And the difficulty is just, you got to work up to it. You can't just, you know, jump into it for sure.
Yeah. There's a certain set of easier Kaizo Mario World hacks, and they're really good. Like, there's some really well designed ones.
Mm-hmm.
And I've played a lot of those, and they're a lot of fun. I should do more of those, really, because they're just a lot of fun. It's just a cool style. It's a cool style of game, but you don't need to go for the hardest ones, Grand Prix World. It's just that's kind of depressing, right? But the easier ones that are more manageable have shorter sections, tricks that are not as punishing. You know, there's plenty of great hacks.
Yeah, Super Mario World Central has a ton of hacks over there for sure.
Yeah, like the Mario World, the speedrun is relatively small compared with the Kaizo community, which is massive.
Yeah.
Which in a way is a bit comparable to the length of the past speedrun community is kind of small compared to the rando community, which is massive.
Right. So are you happy with the way things are in rando and with your place in where rando is? Do you feel content?
Are you asking like for like me?
In general. Yeah, for you in general.
I wish I was a lot better at rando.
Really?
I'm a good rando player. Like, don't get me wrong, right? I'm definitely someone who could enter a tourney and maybe could win. But there's a huge gap between me and the actual top dudes. And we're talking Eri, Zelga, Gem, Gamma, you know, those kind of dudes. And there's a probably good 7 or 8 others, right? There's a large gap between those and me.
I disagree. I hard disagree.
They make better rando decisions than me. And also, if they do the same route, they will beat the seed faster than me, maybe even by up to a minute, minute and a half on execution over a full seed. It's something that I'm very aware of, is just like how much of a gap between me and the actual top dudes. And the reason I know about this gap is because of spoiler races. Like when I do spoiler races against Gamma, Zelga, Gem, they trounce me almost every time by a certain amount of time. And I see that, and it's consistently faster than me, even doing the same stuff. And it's like, it's perfectly there. It's there and it's visible. So I can see that gap, which I like. I like that I can see where and how much of a gap there is. Rando itself can be very frustrating because you might think you're good and then you just lose lots of races, or you don't win any tourneys, or you don't get very far. It's frustrating. And it's a lot less frustrating when I can see why the gap is there and how much of it is. And I can put the runs up side by side and look at the difference, and I can see what they're doing better than me.
Sure.
So in a way, it's frustrating because like I'm just not as good at them. But in a way, it's okay because I, you know, I'm above average at a lot of things, which I like, but I'm never going to be a top at anything. And I think I've just come to accept that that's fine. And maybe even that's more healthy, to be honest.
Yeah, I think it's healthy, but I think there's truth to the fact that if you enter a tournament, there you have just as good a shot at winning that tournament as Zelga or Gamma or Gem. Like, I think that's fair to say. Like, I'd put your name with those same guys.
Yeah, no, I do appreciate that. I think I'm a good step below those guys, but I'm not a million miles off, and I certainly could get a little bit of luck or maybe just be on a good day and I could certainly beat those guys. But yeah. I think over a long run, they're a step above for sure. And I think I can see the gap that's there, and it's hard to close that gap without just spending all the time. And I just don't have that time anymore.
So. I will agree to disagree on this one. I'd put your name right up there with them. So I know you, I understand what you're saying, and there's a way to quantify things, but rando is rando, right? Like there's, when you talk about spoiler log, I feel like that is a different skill than just playing randomizer. And I'm going to put your name up there, and you can't change my mind.
Well, if I can't change your mind, then my name's just going to be up there. That's the way it's going to be. Then I guess you've got to accept it.
Here's the thing that that I love about you, Shady, and that draws me to people like you is the positivity, like the realistic view of themselves. I feel like you have a very realistic, healthy view of who you are and who you are in the game and your skill level in the game and who you are in the community and your role in the community. I feel like the positivity, right? Like we talked about it early on. There's people in the community that are just positive people. You don't see them trash talking people. You don't see them being assholes to other people in the community. They're very welcoming. And again, your name is on top of that list of people in the community that I'm drawn to that are like that. They're just positive forces in the community. And the community needs those people to remain a healthy community. And so I'm super drawn to people like that. And I appreciate you being a part of the community because it's super important.
Oh, thanks, Pete. That's very kind of you. And I'm really glad that my negative trash talk rants have gone under the radar. Gone mostly unnoticed.
Your negativity is so positive that it doesn't come off as negative. It comes off as just a nice guy saying something that might have some truth to it. So here's the question. Do you get tilted when you're racing? Do you get tilted in the middle of seed or at the end of a seed where you felt like you should have won a race and you didn't? And if you do, how do you handle it?
Oh, of course I get tilted. I think everyone gets tilted to a certain level. Well, most people get tilted to a certain degree. So yeah, certain things, like everything can tilt you, I think. Even if it's all your fault, that can tilt you. And if it's not your fault at all and you lost because of dumb luck, that can also tilt you. There's just no getting away with it.
Sure.
Getting out of it. And yeah, it's hard. Like even during races, some bad stuff happens, and I can start getting a bit more scatterbrained, and my head can go down a bit. And I don't think it's as bad. Like I probably handle it okay, maybe even better than the average person. But I still make more mistakes when bad things are happening, and I'm not as cool headed as I should be when stuff happens. But everything can tilt me for sure. But I feel like it doesn't always last that long.
Do you have a reason, or do you feel like you know why it doesn't last long? Like, do you not hold on to it?
Yeah, I think I know why. And I think the answer is that whenever something bad happens, it's like there's always something else to focus on that's coming up next. It goes back to our point about having all these tourneys, right? Like if I crash out of a tourney and I'm really sad about it because I really like this tourney, and I'm like, oh, that's so annoying. I really wanted to win the Animizer tourney and I didn't. Okay, what's next? Co-op tourney, let's go, you know? Yeah. Let's go. I love co-op. The co-op's a great mode as well.
Yeah.
So it's just something else to look forward to. I feel like when there's a lot going on, and it doesn't even have to be rando. If there's other good stuff, interesting stuff going on in my life, other hobbies, things happening, then I just, you know, you feel bad and then you get a night's sleep and then like you look forward to the next thing that's coming up. So as long as there's other good stuff coming up, it's a lot easier to get over the tilt for me anyway. Even though it does have, you can't avoid tilt, I think, like, because sure. It does matter. Like, I know it's a hobby and all that, but we put a lot of time into this, so it does matter. And it's okay to feel bad when stuff doesn't go your way. It's like, it's fine. But I think having good stuff come up, having good stuff that's going to come up later that you can look forward to, helps get over it, I think.
Mm-hmm. That's great. That's a super healthy and smart way of approaching that tilt and not holding on to it. You know, I think a lot of the issues that people have with tilt is because it takes a hold and doesn't let go, right? And then you start to take out your tilt on other people or other things, and it kind of blooms from there.
Yeah, so just for a little bit of balance though, right?
Sure.
So, because I was very, very positive, so I need to be a little bit negative here, right?
Sure.
Cross keys, I just do not understand that bloody mode. And I get so tilted literally every seed, like two-thirds of the way through, because no matter what I do, I just end up like last locating all the things ever. And the worst part about it is that, unlike with spoiler races or speedruns or something, or even the simpler random modes, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what I'm doing wrong. I just don't get it. And that tilts me beyond earth, right? That one. Okay. Yeah. So that tilt, I don't have an answer to. Sure. You know that. If you have an answer to that one, let me know.
I have the same way, man. I did It's not cross keys, but I, you know, we're in the PogChamp tournament, and I was racing Jim, and Dante chose to restream me, and that was a mistake, because when it comes to Endomizer, I have zero interest in playing any Endomizer modes, especially ones where it's like one hit KO, basically, where every enemy hits you is super deadly, and I was just like, I can't do it. I can't do it. it broke me.
Yeah, I joined that race a little bit in, and I saw you had already forfeited, and I was like, oh no, what happened? Yeah. Oh, for fear. Yeah. And then I kind of figured what happened.
Yeah. I felt bad at some point. Like, I felt bad for Jim because I'm racing him and all that kind of stuff. But I was just like, I can't do this. I just can't. I can't do it. It's just not for me.
Yeah. Like, so one thing is, like, whenever I'm playing a mode that I really don't care about, that maybe that's another thing that help you avoid tilt. Like, when I play cross keys, I don't care about cross keys. I don't like the mode, right? But I play it because I try and get better. But if I bomb out of the cross keys tourney, I really don't care.
Yeah.
Because it's just not that interesting, you know? So if I'm doing a mode and I'm doing it just because I'm bored or just because I want to join, I don't want the FOMO, but I want to join, but I don't really care about the mode and I bomb out, I don't mind.
Yeah.
You know, so that's a way to kind of avoid a bit of tilt as well. Like, it's just not caring about the mode.
Yeah. I know I'm never winning the PogChamp tournament. In fact, I'm probably never joining the PogChamp tournament again, just because I know that, like, I'm going to get Endomizer. I don't like Endomizer. Like, it's not going to be an enjoyable time. But it is what it is. Dude, I'm not a big drinker, but if I'm ever in the UK, got to show me a pub and have a pint, man. That'd be
a blast. That would be amazing, dude. Yeah.
Just like I said, I could compliment you all day. Just because, again, you're one of those dudes that I want to be like more like Shady. I want to be, someone that's like a little bit more positive than I know that I am in real life. So I'm drawn to people like you. And I appreciate you coming on the show, man. It's been a blast.
This has been so much fun. Thanks so much for inviting me. I really appreciate it.
Once again, I want to thank Shady for coming on the show. Glad we were able to get this interview on Wax. And just a big fan of him. So really excited about having him on the show and just listening to who he is and his story. It's a really good one. Hope you enjoyed it. Would love to hear what you think. You can join the Discord. 216pod.com has the links to the Discord. Lots of good conversation going on over there. A little slow with sports. I know we're heading into, like, the basketball playoffs just started. Hockey playoffs are just starting. Early baseball is hard to get, like, super excited about what's happening. Like, there's so many ups and downs on a very long season, and we are in the first month, so a lot of games are played. Those jerseys are terrible, though, right? Like, has everyone seen how terrible these jerseys are? They gotta go back to the old ones. I know they can't do it this season, but, like, you see all of the pants that are, like, ripping, too. The tiny lettering. I just don't know what's going on. They're all see-through. And the Mariners wear these awesome creamsicle jerseys on Sundays. They haven't done it yet because the uniforms aren't available. Like, what the heck? We're 3 or 4 weeks into the season and they still don't have their Sunday unis and they won't be ready until like May or June. That's nuts. What is going on? It's ridiculous. Also, let's get some robot umpires, right? Like, just watching Angel Hernandez ring people up with three strikes that are way outside the zone. It's just too much. Just get rid of umpires, man. It's ridiculous. Those are my baseball thoughts. Gonna go meet up with some people here in the Northwest. Just a couple of hours. Got Ninjembro, and so last summer, I think GGW is gonna show up. Norsk Maddie, who's also over here in the Northwest, and James FNX. Gonna go meet up with them over at the Mox Boarding House in Bellevue. Super excited about that. I'll fill you in about that next week and how meeting up with some people that I met at SGL goes. Gonna go have some lunch and chat with them. So that's gonna be cool. Always fun meeting people in the community. And it'd be fun to get the Northwest people up. I finish up this recording, gonna head over to Bellevue. So that's gonna be cool. Next week, I'm not sure who's coming up next, but I got a lineup for you. We've got Homewrecker coming up. We've got Magnificent coming up. Got Ramond, who I just talked with, coming up, and Kermit. So a real strong lineup. One of those people is going to be next. So come back for that. As we wrap up season number 5, it's been a fun season. Probably my favorite season that we've done. Just hit a blast, and it's been a good time. So closing out this season and the show, and yeah, I really appreciate everyone hanging out, and I'll see you next time. Thanks for listening.